Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
What a great thing it would be in 2019 if we all had access to our Bibles on a Sunday morning. Just a prayer. But I'm going to read. Let him have ears, let him listen. The words of John communicating the words of Jesus. Jesus in John 15 said this. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He, the Father, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me. Remain in me. Remain, dwell, abide, remain in me. As I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You see on the floor, just a branch. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now our motto, verse 2019. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, aside from me, on the floor as a branch, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish. It will be done for you. And all this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. What will that mean? Bear much fruit so that you will show yourselves to be my disciples. Shall we pray and ask the Lord to help us? We need help. Spirit of truth, we need help today on so many levels. We need help to open this timeless word and for us to arrogantly think we automatically understand. So might it be, Holy Spirit, you even take away our familiar understandings. Our lazy readings, our flippant approach to your truth today. Spirit of truth, come as Jesus promised and teach me. Show me something of yourself in a way that moves me, that shakes my soul. Help us, Lord. We need you right now. At the beginning of a new year, never been lived before in history. Kings and rulers of the past have never lived this day, yet you, by your grace, you give us it now. This might be the first day, Lord. Could it be that we ooze Jesus, the vine, the wine of the kingdom? Turn on the taps, Holy Spirit. I open my heart for that. I lay it open for you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have walked past the welcomers. Thank you for the welcomers. They're so great, and I appreciate that. And they may have given you one of these. It's a new fridge magnet, which is I'm always excited about my new fridge magnet. On the, I have these all in a line on my fridge, and it's from first one was 2011. You can do back orders, by the way, if you're really keen. But it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. And I want to explain, because there's a couple of sub kind of quotes on there that have meant things to us. Certainly the first one, which I think is on that banner there that Tom did, that we're God's people on God's mission in the Spirit's power with the message of His Son. I'll go through this. I felt it was important at the beginning of this year to really explain, particularly a lot of new folk as well, who perhaps, what is this about? Where are we heading and how did we get here? And then also at the bottom we've got this, come and see, come and follow, come and be with me, come and remain with me. So it's a bit busy. But I'm rather hoping that it's not something, you know, that we put on our fridge and then we forget, that we chew over it over the year. So we read it and say, you know, the disciples would come and say, Jesus, what did you mean? What do you mean by that? That we can talk about it a lot. And it's a bit like a good, you know, a sermon or anything should be like a good roast dinner, you know, Sunday dinner, where you go home and you carve up and you talk about it. You know, so often we carve up the speaker. And we go home and we do that sort of thing, which isn't the best approach. So it might be, I pray that as with our motto, that we can do that. Do you know, I put in the pastor's desk today. Welcome, by the way, if you're a visitor. My name's Keith. But I put it in the pastor's desk today. Before I knew any of this stuff, there's a lot of stuff to learn, isn't there? Doing church. Do you find there's a lot of stuff? I know it's natural and we come in and after time you forget what you know. But before I knew all that, I knew and experienced the love of Jesus. And the reason I'd experienced that is that my uncle oozed out Jesus. He was so connected to Jesus that whenever I felt good with him, and at first I didn't know why I felt good, because I didn't know anything. So he explained the reason he was like, was because Jesus had changed his life. And he was in Jesus. He was so connected. He never said he was so humble. He never would say that. But I know now he was so is and still is so connected to Jesus that I couldn't help but be under the influence, if you want, of that wine, that vine of the kingdom that came out of my uncle. And it was incredible. And I just so want to be that person that is fruitful. I just would love it if every person that spent time with me, and maybe not even a long time, would just even go away and say, wow, you know, there's just something. I want that. And I want to get there. And it was great last week. I appreciated Gary. Gave us some very practical ways of how we get into intimacy with Jesus. Fitted in great with this week. And do listen online. It's on our website if you missed last week. It's really, really, really worth listening to. And we'll support today. But Jesus, you see, when we're near the end of things, and we're kind of accelerating towards the passion narratives, towards the time when Jesus is not going to be around to hide with. He's starting to say things that he really wants the intimate ones, those who really want to want it. He's starting to say things that will really ensure they keep going. Because I don't know about you, a new year can be a real mixed feeling, can't it? It's like, I'm not sure I can do that again. Does anyone ever feel that sound? I mean, people talk about sad lamps, don't they, in sort of winter moods, and there's this kind of, isn't there? But I honestly believe Jesus, he was talking to his disciples about how are you going to keep, how can you take that breath without it being you? How can you, you know what I mean by that? Well, you're having to say it's all about me, just thinking better thoughts, like Peter Pan, or how might it be that I can really just ooze? Just what might it be look like for me to naturally just flow Jesus? And that'd be a wonderful thing. And in our motto verse, we have a single verse. And read John 15. I mean, in the first 17 verses, I think he mentions the word fruit 9 times. So he's talking about this fruit matters. And so in this single verse, John 15:5, it speaks of fruitfulness, but it also speaks of fruitlessness. So it's possible to be amongst God's people. And this has always concerned me about me. My own walk. It's possible for me to do things amongst God's people and be fruitless. And that does concern me. It frightens me a little, if I'm honest, that I might be fruitless. And it's interesting that Jesus really is saying some really interesting things. You know, it's the gardener. He says the gardener takes these branches and, I mean, it's not something that we'd want to hear on a pulpit, on a platform. He says he takes these branches from amongst the people. This is God's people. He takes these branches and the throne. And I think, I want the passion and urgency so that, Lord, I want to be fruitful. I want to be fruitful. And so today I really want to look at what that might look like for us, to give us encouragements, to move into some intimate spaces, if I can use that term, with Jesus. How can I move from a crowd where intimacy in this setting is hard, actually, with Jesus? It's really hard. How can I move from the crowd to being remaining in that vine? How can I be so? In some ways, I'm just never out of that room, that intimacy, that loving kindness, that room with Christ. I'm just never out of it, so I don't have to go into it. Because I don't have to see my quiet time as a place I'm going into that intimacy, because I'm in the intimacy. A branch isn't a branch one day, then the next day it has a day off, and it lays on the floor for a couple of weeks while it goes on holiday. A branch is a branch in the vine. A branch is always in the vine, you see. It just is in the vine. I'm just always in Jesus. That's what I want for me. And I pray that I want to encourage us this year to do that. Because the Bible has this way. It frightens me a little. And I think it's good to have that tension. Jesus often would introduce tension. The Bible has a way of polarizing outcomes. Psalm 1, it's not a New Testament thing. Psalm 1 talks about the blessed and the wicked. It's kind of polarized options. And Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, Jesus talks about it there. And here, Jesus is talking about fruitful followers, disciples. And what's inferred and certainly stated in the rest of John 15 is the fruitless who apart from Christ can do nothing. Those not remaining in, those not soaking in him can do nothing, says Jesus. Do you know how many, I don't know, in your Christian life, I've been a Christian since I was 16, about 5 years. I've been a Christian a long time. There are times when I've just not felt I've been abiding and I've been drained. Drained. And I've started to get bitter about God's house, about the Bible, about his people. And I've started to ooze out stuff that people haven't been closer to Jesus when they left my company, put it that way. And that's really not great. And I felt bad about that. And I repent, if that is even me. Now, when you're with me, if you feel further from Jesus, further from the passion, rebuke me in a nice way, but make it clear. Because I want that to be my signature. And Jesus in this verse talks about fruitfulness and fruitlessness. You see, Jesus says, if you're not in me, all the other outcomes, whatever outcomes you're doing, and that could be religious outcomes, it just could be gathering, whatever it might be, it's just noise. There's no fruit. In fact, Jesus, he really doesn't mess around. He summarizes all the outcomes apart from Jesus as nothing. It's nothing. It has no currency in my kingdom. And I know we heard last week about what a great resolution it would be to be intimate with Christ. And wouldn't it be great alongside that to say, Lord, I want to be fruitful for Christ and his kingdom. You know, there's nothing more disappointing for the dedicated gardener. And don't please look at me that way. I'm not a dedicated gardener. But I know there's plenty of people in here who are really, really good. Really good. There's nothing more disappointing for the dedicated gardener than fruitlessness. It's really disappointing. But you see, a loving, dedicated gardener, my Father is the gardener, said Jesus. A loving, dedicated gardener doesn't easily give up. That's the thing. You see, an untrained eye like mine, I remember one year, you might not remember it, Leslie, you might have forgotten it. Well, I think I'll probably remind you now, won't I? So, that's not good. I think I dug up something that I shouldn't have dug up. And you weren't happy with me. Because I thought it looked dead. But as a dedicated gardener, you said, that's not dead. So we need the dedicated gardener to just come. And feeling dead is not the same as being dead. I feel worn out sometimes. And a loving gardener doesn't easily give up. But there does come a time. And Jesus is raising these questions now. Imagine that gardener looking out, and our allotment guys have done this a lot. When you stare at a plant or a bush or something, you stare at something in the ground as a dedicated gardener, and you start to say, shall we leave it in? Do we leave it in again? Do we leave it in? Because I so want this to work. What else can we do? And Jesus here speaks of a loving gardener. I am the true vine, verse 1, and my Father is the gardener. It's clear here that God the Father is tending this vine. He's looking out for fruit. The Father so desires us to be fruitful. So is he not going to help us do that? Yes, well, at the end in verse 26, he talks about, and the advocate, the Spirit of truth, will come. See, the whole triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are involved in this vine. And what they're calling us into is Jesus is the vine, the Father's the gardener, and the Spirit is like the sap, really. And they're calling us into community as branches. Isn't that amazing? And the branch just is there. It's beautiful. And the Father really desires, if you feel so dead today, he desires your fruitfulness. And has given everything we need. Peter says this to us. He has given us everything we need to live a godly life. To be fruitful, we could say. Everything we need. I have his truth. I can flick through and dwell on and feed on. It's like that feed you put in the ground. You see, my gardening knowledge is really, yeah, you should do this talk, Ben. And other people should do this one, really. But you see, what's really interesting is you see this picture of a vine. We sometimes need to change our thinking. If we've been doing church a long time, it's really, really hard to change our thinking about whose job it is to really, really do stuff. It is the Spirit of God, Jesus is the vine, as we're into him, who we lock into. But so often we can twist things so it becomes our thing. Because this picture of a vine was really familiar to Jesus' first listeners. The disciples, the Jewish people, were very familiar with this picture. But they were familiar in the sense that in their Bible, in the Old Testament, they were the vine. God's people were the vine. They were the called servants of God in their Bible. So Jesus stands up. Imagine if someone thinks there's nothing worse than someone thinks they're it, and you say, no, you're not it, I'm it. And Jesus says, no, I am the true vine. It's not you. So they thought they were the vine. I mean, they were God's people, planted by God to be fruitful, to be the first fruit of his kingdom. You must remember the promise maybe to Abraham. I'm going to make you a blessing to all nations. And I'm going to gather you in, Abraham. And we know what that looks like with God's people, Israel. But you're not to be like an isolated bush. You are to be fruitful and be a blessing to all nations. To spill out. And they would often sing in their songbook in church. We sing songs that we love. We sing a lot of songs about us. And I like songs about us. But I really want to sing songs about the Lord and what he does in my heart and life. See, Psalm 80, they would sing this, verse 14. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine. They were the vine. It's about us, God. In fact, the Lord would even lament over their fruitlessness. He would look out in Isaiah. Often there would be critiques for fruitlessness. What's happening to your oozing to other nations? Isaiah 5:4, what more could have been done for my vineyard, says the Lord, that I have done for it? What more could I have done? When I look for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? God looked at this vineyard. He looked at this unfaithful servant. And so Jesus, as the fulfillment, says, I am the true vine. I'm the one who's going to fulfill all this vision that God ever spoke about, which you stumbled over. And then you made it into your own privileged role and position. I pray that as churches we don't make the same mistake as Israel of old. God's got a plan for sure for them, for all peoples. So whilst Jesus is speaking to his disciples, they would understand this picture of the vine. They'd go back to thinking about them. And their whole thinking would now be uprooted, if I can use that term. Excuse me. As Jesus declares himself to be the true vine, as he often would. You see, Jesus would often take things that was about them and say, it's now about me. We're going to do this really soon with this. Remember Passover? The Passover was a celebration of the Passover. When God delivered them, Exodus 12 onwards. And they used to celebrate every year their salvation. As a group of people, we are here to celebrate our personal salvation as a group of people. We would never do that. And Jesus, first time, upper room, took this and says, you know, up to now you've been celebrating your personal salvation. I want you to now do it in remembrance of me and my kingdom. And we're not going to do this again until I'm in the kingdom. Until it's absolutely fully. This is always, ever, and shall be about me. Israel. Church. So what Jesus often did was he took things that were familiar and he would project them onto himself. In remembrance of me, now this is the fullest Exodus. And now I know that you've been the vine. You were supposed to be the faithful servant to all nations. You were called and God's faithful because here you are. But I am the true vine. You are actually the branches. If you remain in me, you will be fruitful. I am the faithful servant of God. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can just carry on trying to do the fruit thing on your own. About my own personal story and the life and preserving my thing. Or just get exhausted trying to live for Jesus as a branch on the floor. And you know, I honestly, as I've been praying over this, in order for our kingdom to come, in a sense, God's in charge of that. Bless. But in the lives of the disciples here, if the mission is going to succeed, it's not because of them. But in the lives of the disciples, in the lives of our lives here today, in the life of this church, this city, Christ needs to be repositioned back in the center of my life. And if I look back over even last year, I sometimes felt like that branch on the floor. And I felt like I was shriveled up and could have been picked up and just thrown away. But the Spirit of God is so gracious. The gardener looks for that fruit. Leave it in. Don't dig it up. Maybe you've already put a label on your stalk, worthless, fruitless. That's not your job or mine. It's not the enemy's job either. That's the Lord's job. And the master gardener wants to come and he wants to see fruitfulness in you. And he's provided ways we can do that. Listen back to last week, but I want to give a couple of things about what that might look like for us as well. You see, God's people then and even now, they love to reflect on their privileged position. It's understandable when you're persecuted that it was about protecting what they had. It all sounds great. We are God's people. We are the bush, the vine. But how the Lord would look at this fruitless nation of people. I wonder if the Lord, he does in Revelation, doesn't he? He looks over the churches and comments on their fruitfulness or not. He's the one who removes lampstands. But just so we have an insight into God's heart when he sees fruitlessness. Jeremiah 2:21, I had planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt, wild vine? And I have to be honest, and we have to check ourselves here. It starts with me. When I look up and down at some churches and some of the fights and some of the misrepresentations and some of the shows, that makes me very sad. How did we become wild? Maybe. We went remaining. And what frightens me, thinking about where the disciples were at when Jesus said this, it's possible to know our story. The disciples knew their story. It's good to reflect on our privileged position. It's possible to do that, to be passionate about what we have, yet totally miss the point and be fruitless. So on this magnet, there's two kind of sub-challenges, really. And I honestly think these two kind of mindsets collectively help. Gary last week spoke about some practical things about when you're in that intimate space, about your personal time, about reflecting, about spending time daily, not overdoing it and failing, but that was really, please do listen. I don't want to repeat that stuff. But I want to pan back a little bit and just very, very briefly. There's a couple of approaches, because if it's about me growing, about me bearing fruit, then I'm going to fail and I'm going to stop because I'm no good at this. I just want to make sure that I'm in the vine. The fruit will follow. The fruit will really follow as I'm in the vine. So how can I get into that space? Well, there's two sentences on here. We are God's people on God's mission in the Spirit's power with the message of his Son. Followed by a strange bunch of words. Come and see. Come and follow. Come and be with me. Come and remain with me. And just really, really briefly, as I approach 2019 and I want to remain in him, how can I do that? The first thing really is knowing that we are in partnership with the triune God. It's not me. We haven't got it all. And thank you, Lord, I'll see you in heaven. I'm in partnership with you, Lord, for his purposes. And that motivates me to know that the community, the gardener and the vine and the sap of the Spirit, whatever you want to call him, he's the one who motivates, who stirs, who brings up that fruit, who encourages us. That community of God's people is calling us to remain, to be in. And what's happened, you see, over the last 7 years, if you're new, is that for a long time we had to have this transition change, just like the disciples had to move from them being the vine to Jesus being the vine, from celebrating their personal salvation to celebrating in remembrance of him. We had to move over 7 years. That it's not about the church of God that has got a mission, but it's the God of mission that's got a church. And that we are called into partnership with the God of mission, God's people on God's mission. There's the ownership. In the Spirit's power with the message of his Son. And in our text, Jesus talks about this community that is at work so we can be fruitful. The Father is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. And in verse 26, the Spirit is at work, the great advocate. You see, really, as I see myself as part of a new community, and I'm not calling that new community necessarily Bethel Church, by the way. This happens to be our local expression. A new community of Christ. I realize I'm part of something much bigger than my own personal salvation story. And that's the start for me to understand. Because if I get bogged down in my story is pain, is disappointment, is frustration, is just difficulty. And then what my narrative becomes is I might come here for that to be eased. And maybe it should be, and I like that. But if that's my only focus, to have my personal needs satisfied, then that moves us into the next phrase. Because the next phrase, come and see, come and follow, come and be with me, come and remain with me, we see Jesus, throughout the Gospels, moving people into these spaces so they become intimate with him. Let me explain. I hope you're confused. So, Lord, my first mindset is that this is your ball. You are the gardener. You are the one who tends. You are the one, Lord, who keeps me going, who ties me up, who ties me next to that strong branch. You're the one who's going to keep me when I'm just wilting. And Lord, even when we're busy for Christ, and even when we're really feeling fruitful, the fruit can get heavy. We can be. And it's painful either way. Do you notice at the beginning, Jesus said, you know, those who don't bear any fruit are cut off. But those who do will be pruned. If you're fruitful, it'll still be painful. That's good news. I remember a story. I'm sure it was Liz and Kerry or something. You was watching Kerry prune something, and you wanted her to stop or something. You said it's brutal. But Kerry was doing it. She knew what she was doing. She knew what she was doing, didn't she? Yeah. Sorry. Can you have this one? Yeah. And then I'm going to talk about these spaces, because could you just explain that story briefly? Thank you.
Okay, so we were at the allotment, and Kerry was pruning one of the apple trees with a pruning saw. And I came around from the back of the shed, and I actually went, it was like a gut-wrenching kind of, oh my goodness. She just basically, what I thought, kind of hacked at it, really. But she hadn't. Beth is assuring me, no, she hadn't. She'd done exactly what was the right thing. And I'll just give the mic to Kerry because she can explain a bit more about what she actually did.
So this tree hadn't been pruned for a little while. And so we cut out all the damaged branches and all the branches that were growing inward and all the branches that were rubbing against each other and all the branches, yeah, that kind of didn't need to be there, or the bits of the branches. And there was a lot, and Liz was a little bit shocked. But then that year, at the end of that year, the tree had like masses and masses of apples. So yeah.
Brilliant. Please feel free to keep the mic. I mean, to the end. I mean, just pop it off, whatever. But you see, so the master gardener, Jesus said, "My Father is the master gardener. I am the vine. If you remain in me, and it will, there'll be pruning either way, whether you're fruitful or not. But there'll be pain in this. But the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, this is where it's, the community's coming, isn't it?" The Advocate, so Beth was a great advocate on that day and says, you maybe gave some instruction before and says, well, this is what you look at. I don't know. But I think that sounds like maybe the Advocate wants to speak to us as well. You see what the community involved, but to the onlooking was quite scary. So what we see, what we see can sometimes not be a picture of what's really going on. And maybe the Lord's in 2018 and before has been really pruning away at you and I, because he loves us and wants us to be fruitful. And so I would say, for me, in order for me to, this Carol, I need to know that he is the gardener. I want to be in this community. It's his mission. I want to be in this, it's his community, his responsibility, but I'm going to respond. I'm going to be in the vine. So what can I do in a sense that will get that intimacy, which will get me nearer to the secretaires? And I guess in your mind and my mind, no, none of us want to be close to the secretaires. Those sharp clips where you cut the branches off. None of us naturally would want to be clipped. It just doesn't, it's just not nice. But it's so right. And so we see Jesus at his ministry, and I'll let me sweep through this, but what I want to encourage us today is to not be scared of the gardener's skill. Not be frightened of this. He is the master gardener. And he comes, and what he wants to do is he wants to call us into these intimate spaces Gary spoke about last week, so he can work on us. If I remain on the edge, if I'm not in the allotment, it's difficult to work on that. And so we see these come and see, come and follow, come and be with me, come and remain with me. What we see in the Gospels is Jesus, the vine, giving people opportunities like you and I, just like you and I, to come in to some spaces to be worked with. And the come and see is really like the crowd. Crowds followed Jesus, and the come and see people was people who would come to get things. If I could say in a gentler way possible, I honestly believe that many of our churches are made up of come and see people who come to get stuff. And I completely understand that, because life is really difficult. But then there were a few people who wanted to know, wanted just to see a little bit more. And then he would say, come and follow me, Mark 1:17. I will make you fishes of men. The crowd's a safe place. It's a wild, fruitless place, really. It just sucks out. It's like a weed next to the bush that just sucks out all the goodness out of the soil. You see what I'm saying? And this sounds really awful. And I even think there are people, even scattered in churches, that suck out the life out of churches. I do. And I can't. Well, it's really difficult to say, but I can't understand. And some of the characteristics of that is it just that they grow, but they suck the life out of other people. Do you know, Frank, you're nodding your head. Thanks, brother. No one else is really nodding. But, all right, that's good. Oh, you're not nodding off. That's great. Bless you. But you see, then there's others who want to know more. And you see, I don't get a hang up with this decisions for Christ thing. Because to me it's about disciples for Christ. We get hung up on this decisions thing. Are they in or are they out? We get hung up with this big time. I'm not going to give you some liberal woolly journey thing. But clearly there are many people who are coming to see. And then Christ calls people to come and follow him into the next place, which is this, what is this about? It's still not very intimate, this place, but it's good because we're moving into this place of, I can see what's going on. And then this is come and be with me. And that's really great. I love the come and be with me place because it's like awkward question time. So we're moving closer. I'm worried about people who don't ask awkward questions. Who just take it. Come and see crowd. And that's enough. And then John 15, Jesus was always wanting the disciples to get to this John. He's about to leave them. It's not too far away. Come and remain with me. If you're going to really move forward and produce fruit that will last for the kingdom, this is going to be so hard. Remain in me. I am the true vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit without me. If you stay in those distant places, stay on the floor, you can do nothing. And so here in John 15, as we bring this down, Jesus gives us a picture of our intimate trajectory. It's a trajectory. The disciples had all started at the come and see stage with the crowds. They'd moved to come and follow me, giving attention to Jesus' things. They'd come to be with me, see him at work and witness his healings, to ask questions. But now, my close followers, you really want to know what fruitfulness for my kingdom is when I'm not here? When it's tough, John 15. Because this now, after this, we'll be hurtling towards the passion narratives where Jesus will be taken, and we'll look at this as we celebrate what he's done, that we might be fruitful. Jesus was taken, he would be taken and tortured, he would be crucified. The disciples weren't no longer able to ask him questions here and there, to hide in his shadow. And so Jesus here speaks about intimacy, the need to press in. And as you do that, says Jesus, the Spirit, the Advocate, will come and flow and equip and pour out. It's like wine. I want to be like my uncle Alan. I didn't know that he was in that intimate place with Jesus. I sensed it and felt it long before he opened his mouth. And when he did, it just all matched up. If he'd have opened his mouth and he'd have been a ruthless uncle, a loveless uncle, an arrogant uncle, his words would have gone over my head and I'd have carried on. But I sensed it and wanted what he had. A beautiful, beautiful fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You'll be a branch on the floor. So what about us? You and I. What's our trajectory, our movement, our direction of intimacy with Jesus? Come and see. Well, we're here today. That's wonderful. I'm so pleased you're here. But can I say, if this is your offering, if this is where spirituality starts and stops for you, then we might struggle. You might struggle, my dear brother, sister, to get intimate and feel that intimacy with Jesus and even with one another here, because it's so difficult in the crowd to feel that. Maybe, like God's people of old, we can know our story, be well versed, like to reflect and sing the songs, be passionate about what we have, yet totally miss the point. Or maybe we're in the come and follow. That's good, because maybe we've joined some sort of small group and we're asking questions, and there are some more things said that we hear there that we agree with. It's good. Can I say agreement is not the same as remaining and being intimate? It's a great move from the crowd. Could I encourage you, just come and be with me, says Jesus. Ask questions. I speak to someone quite regularly who asks lots of questions, who's confused, and I'm excited, actually, about that, because I see a come and be with me space where it's asked really intimate, difficult questions. If we're at that place and we want to know, there's an accountability in the come and be with me. There's a real accountability. Could I ask you to move from the crowd spaces? How might it look like for you this year? From the crowd, even from the smaller group, to maybe some more accountability where there's challenge and there's wanting to know, move on, whether that's mentoring or just creating a loving environment of tension. You know, Jesus would often do that. Disciples were hungry. The crowds came. These people are hungry, Jesus, send them away. No, you feed them. Jesus created tension. Because without tension, I can honestly say we'll stay in the crowd. Because who wants to go near the secateurs? That would be insane. But can I say the loving gardener is amazing, is beautiful, who loves you deeply, and is... Wants you. I'm sure he stares at you and me every year and says, Keith, yeah, I see the potential in you. Remember Jesus went past the fig tree? He says, hail that away. It wasn't even the season. Hail it away. It's not going to bear any fruit, that fig tree. And the disciples were like, well, okay. Some people have tried to explain it. Well, yeah, there is kind of pre-fruit buds and all this sort of thing. Jesus just knew. And could I encourage you, when you're asking questions in those mentoring spaces, in those intimate spaces, listening to Gary's message last week, which was a great message, of those come and remain with me spaces. Those intimate spaces. So Lord, in this classroom, in this home, in the street, can I say, you don't have to look at the church program to find these spaces. What about that intimate space with your kids? Where you're praying and sharing Jesus. I've been challenged recently in some of our leadership training on what it means to be a close follower. And some of our guys, I think it might have been Josh and Holly, have rediscovered are discovering even more, because you do this great, what it means to have intimate space at home and that space of Jesus. It's not about program. Am I right in that? Do you want a mic? Is that okay? Do you mind? Because I think practical, forgive me, we will be moving down to this. We're doing okay. I can't remember if you said that you wasn't going to share it, but you don't have to share anything you don't want to, but it was a blessing to me. I remember when he shared it.
Okay. I think me and Josh, one of the reasons we home educate was because we felt it was our responsibility to look after our children, and I didn't feel there's nothing wrong with sending them to school, so this isn't a home educating thing, but we wanted to have more intimate time with our children. Sorry, Lucy's in here. But recently I had the opportunity to take Emily and Lucy, with me to see a family, and just spend time with them and pray with them. And when we left that family, Lucy could see a need that maybe I saw but was too busy to say, and said, "Mom, I want your life group to meet that family's need." So I was like, okay. And so I put it on our life group, and within less than 12 hours, there was enough money to not only meet that family's need, but to go above and beyond. And I think sometimes it just takes our children to show us, especially I'm really keen to have them in ministry with me, but just to show us how to meet people's needs. And I can't say anything else because I'll start crying.
Okay. I just want to bring this down, really. And how might it be? How can we help you get to the more intimate places, moving from the come and see to through the questioning into that real space where actually I'm a branch, it's still painful because the Father prunes, but I'm fruitful for the kingdom. And so this isn't a one Sunday thing, is it? This is an off the platform thing. So please talk about this, the come and see, come and follow. And if you don't get it, that's good, in the sense that you'll come and say, what does that mean as well? And it might just mean that we look out, not only for our own intimacy with Jesus. If you're there with that, please bless someone else with discussing and saying, because there are a lot of people here who had a really torrid time. And I think that means that with all the weeds of life, and the enemy comes in, doesn't he? He does. It takes over the garden. And when someone gets to the point where they've got so many weeds in their garden, they leave it because they don't know where to start. And sometimes all it takes is one or two folk to say, we're going to weed that garden with you, or for you, and help you to create a platform that means you can think about what intimacy and being fruitful really looks like for you. I can't do that on my own. I certainly can't do it from the come and see platform. So I would really ask for your help. And if that's just another person, or if you're one who needs really help with getting into that space, make that known. That's a beautiful request. And there are some good, many good people here. We all need this. And so I pray this year that I want to take the heat off it all being about me trying harder. Because he is the vine. He is the true servant. He is the one who will fulfill. The Father's the gardener. The Spirit's helping me. And I just want to remain in him. And I'll be fruitful. And I want to help you to do that as well. And if you could help me to do that, that would be great. So we are going to celebrate. I think we have a song. I just put a little verse at the end here, a little prayer. Lord, give me a passion for you, because I want to bear fruit that will last. Help me to do that, Lord, to remain in you. What's our trajectory? Don't be scared of the amazing gardener. He loves you deeply and wants us to bear fruit for his kingdom. What song is it, Giles?
King of Kings.
Beautiful song. King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, the gardener, living in me. Gentle Saviour. It might not look gentle, but it's gentle Saviour, closest friend. Oh, please do. Oh, you've got to. Yeah, absolutely. This is open time. This is family celebration. You need to share, Kerry.
Just one super quick thing that occurred to me when Keith was talking about it might seem a bit scary or a bit crazy to be near the secateurs, and sometimes that idea of going deeper and being more intimate with Jesus is a bit scary, and stepping out of our comfort zone and doing what God wants is scary. And it reminded me, I don't know, probably most of you at some point have read The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And before Lucy meets Aslan, she's a bit concerned and she's a bit confused and she's nervous. And she says to Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, and she says, "But is he safe?" And Mr. Beaver turns and says, "Of course he's not safe, but he's good."
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.